absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Wow! Really? Then this ain't so bad. This ain't so bad. I can take this. I can face this. Because I know who holds tomorrow. They have grist for the mill of their faith. They sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. Literally, it's a picture of them singing a song like the song of Moses, because the song itself is actually laid before us in its words. And it says, in the words, it's the song of the Lamb. It has been transformed to the song of the Lamb. And of course, Jesus is the Lamb. And the Bible says that they sang the song saying, "Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty." Who's it the song of? The Lamb. What do they call him? Lord God. Say it. Almighty. Jesus is God. He walked on the earth, and they make no apologies. He says it in chapter 1. I am the Almighty. He says it again that the tribulation saints got it. They're going to sing to the Lamb. The song of the Lamb. All about the Lamb. Lord God Almighty. I just want to say, let's let God be true and every man a liar. The devil doesn't want Jesus to get his proper due, so he does everything he can to diminish and to take and to steal and to try to transform and change the likeness of God into the likeness of man and beast and creeping thing. And people have worshipped those throughout history, but only one was God with us, and that was Jesus. Bible says that they say, "Great and marvelous are thy works, just and true are thy ways. Thou King of the saints, he's my King." You say, "You're a saint?" Well, you're awful bold to say you're a saint. I say, I'm a saint. I say it because God said it. I don't say it because I'm so good. I say it because He imputes to me His righteousness, and I get all the credit of Jesus imputed to my account. I can't, nothing in my hands I bring. Only to the cross I cling. Jesus died for me. He bore my sins in His body on the tree. And He made it possible for me to become the righteousness of God in Him. In Him I stand redeemed. In Him I stand complete. He is our completion. The Bible says that in Colossians 2, I believe it is. It says, "In Him you are complete." Woo! Aren't you glad? You aren't complete because you're so good. You know you're a rascal. It's what makes it hard for you to get up in the morning and do God. And go read your Bible and go to church and pray. It's hard because you're walking in a fog. But God knows that dilemma you face. He knows that body of this death that you carry around. He understands the struggle. So He said, "You know what? If I'm going to do this, I'm going to have to do it right. I'm going to have to take care of everything." And so He sent His Son. Lord God Almighty. And He died on the cross for you. That's awesome. And the Bible says in this passage that they sang of His works. And that's the word ergon, not poieo. Poieo are the things that He does. But the works is the word ergon. It means the energy He set forth. And the ways is before us. And the ways is the roads He's chosen. What this is doing is they're saying, "We praise You for choosing to do this the way You chose to do it. For being sovereign." They're praising God for letting them die. They're praising God for letting them, many of them, be martyred with losing their heads. Many of them being martyred by other means, because we recall that when the tribulation unfolds, there's going to be a particular edict given by the Antichrist and the false prophet that anybody who kills anyone who won't take the mark, they get a pass. So whatever means they found themselves being killed, they say, "Praise You, God. You've chose a good way. I know what You were doing. I understand why You did it. And I really had it coming. But thank You, thank You, thank You for using me, choosing me, and making me some kind of a testimony for You to those I love and left behind." People don't have a cause bigger than themselves anymore. That's what's wrong with America. The Bible says that they praised Him for His works and His ways. And the Bible says in verse 4, "Who shall not fear?" Phobia. "Who shall not fear, O Lord? And the word is in a kind of tense form that means who will not be made to fear. Who is it that can stand in the presence of God and have that impudent face and say, you know, I see the earthquakes, I see the beast out of the pit, and I see the scorched earth, and I see the bitter water, and I'm not impressed. No, God moves heaven and earth. He's in a tribulation format now, and He's cranked things up, and He said, I want you to come to me. But they run to the rocks and the mountains and say, fall on us. Folks, that's how dark it is. And I believe it's that dark today out there. I talked to a guy yesterday, and I asked him, hey, you know how you doing? We're looking for anybody who lives here who doesn't attend church somewhere that we could invite to the services of our church. He says, oh, I go to church. I said, oh, that's great. I said, where do you go? He said, Baptist church. I said, really? I said, you go regularly? Yeah, all the time. Go all the time. I said, how long have you been going? He said, 10 years. I said, man, that's neat. And I thought I had a brother there. Because he, every day, takes the kids, all that. I said, let me ask you a question, just to kind of clarify, because, you know, it's what we're all about. We're really glad you're going to church, but we want to make sure everybody knows they're going to heaven for sure. I said, have you ever come to a place where you know for sure you're going to heaven? He said, no. No, I haven't. Now, when I said Baptist church, it's significant Baptist church, okay? They got the gospel. This guy sat there 10 years and never been saved. I said to him, I said, man, that's pretty amazing. That blows my mind. I said, you know what? I could share with you just a few short verses. You get that thing solid. I said, I know maybe you just kind of got overlooked. It's big. It's hard to get, you know, a person-to-person kind of thing, maybe. I said, but I could share with you. Get that thing settled. Take it on in into a house. Tell your family. He says, no, I don't think so. Not interested. That could be one of us in this room this morning. Oh, I've been going to that church for years and years. 7, max. That's about all we got. But don't know, don't. No, no. He said, I don't want to know. Beloved, this passage says, who shall not be made to fear? You know what the Bible tells us? The Bible tells us that God is literally going to make every knee bow and every tongue confess. Nobody's going to stand and say, I see all this stuff you've done in the tribulation. And they're going to look at God and say, I'm not impressed. God's going to make them scared. There's going to be no safe place. Scariest thing to me would be being in a earthquake. You know, it'd be kind of scary. And there's going to be a couple of them, you know, during the times. But wouldn't that be scary? You don't have anywhere to go. Do you run outside? Do you run inside? The only person I figure has got it going on is a guy in a helicopter. That's why I want to get my chopper license as soon as I get the money. Because I'm telling you, I'm not going to be here. I don't need to worry about it. But my point is clear, isn't it? They're singing, who shall not be made to fear? Look what you did to us. You made us strong and emboldened us enough to lay down our lives. And we're just worshiping you for your ways and your works. And man, we know if we're willing to bleed on the field and we're pointing to Jesus, because the Bible says they overcame them with the word of their testimony and with the blood of the Lamb. Beloved, do you have a word of testimony? The word of their testimony was when they got saved, when they met Jesus, when they got their burden like Pilgrim or Christian had, and it got released at the foot of the cross. The only way you have a word of testimony is if you come to Jesus. If you've recognized that He bore our sins in His body on the tree, that it pleased the Lord to crush Him, that God laid on Him the iniquity of us all, that He who knew no sin became sin, that Christ had once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust. If you don't know that, don't own that, don't love that, you maybe don't have a word of testimony. I just want to encourage you, get one. Because when the ship's going down or the plane's going down, you're going to be looking for a parachute and there's not going to be one because you're not going to have a clue of how to put the circuit together to make the light turn on. Get the questions answered while things are clear today. Because God so loved you that He gave His only begotten Son. If you'll just put all your faith in Him for salvation, you would not perish but have everlasting life. He says not only will they fear Him, but it says they will glorify Thy name. And here's why they will glorify God. Because He's the only one who's holy. In verse 4, And because all the nations shall come and worship before Him. That's talking about the millennial kingdom. He's saying, we see it. We read it. We've died for it. We know what's coming. We're up here on the sea of glass mingled with fire right now. We got our harvest going on. But we're going back down with you for the millennium. And it's going to be awesome. All the nations are going to come and glorify you. You know, if you're waiting for God to get popular, you're going to be in for a long wait. And by the time He gets popular, it's going to be too late. Okay? God's not popular with the world. Jesus said, they hated me, they're going to hate you. He never pulled any punches. He said, you need to follow me and I'll give you rest. Come to me, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. I'm meek and lowly. But my yoke is easy and my burden is light because it's what you were created for. It's exactly what you were created for. I was wearing a pair of socks yesterday that I was not created for. I just want to get that off my heart this morning. Those buggers were crawling down my shoe. You ever had that? I hate them. I'm sitting at my desk last night and I said, oh yeah, those stupid socks. I took them off and I threw them across the room when nobody's looking. But I'm feeling better now that I've confessed. But you know what? You were created to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. You know that you're eternal. You can't even imagine the fact that there was ever really a real reality before this one. It's hard for us to imagine that that loved one you care so much about will die. Somehow God, the Bible says, has set eternity in man's hearts. You know you're going to live forever. The real question is, where? The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 that it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. The Bible tells us that it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. And then it says this in Romans chapter 14 and verse 11, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself unto God. It is where I started this morning, and it is where I will conclude at this point. You will give an account of yourself to God. And if you cannot reach your finger out and point to the time, moment, and place where you trusted Jesus as your personal Savior, this morning I'm here to tell you, like I told the man on his front porch, I may be a blip on the scale, I may be a passing star in the night that you will see and hear today, gone tomorrow, but I am here to tell you this morning, you are lost. You are dead in trespasses and sins, and you don't even recognize it totally, but I want you to know you're going to give an account of yourself to God. And if you don't get born again, you're going to go into eternity with your sins on your back. And now that you're dead in trespasses and sins, then you will be dead, in eternally dead, separated by the second death from God. You're separated now and you'll be separated forever. And there's no going back. The wrath of God is something that ought to make us nervous. Can't remember who it was. Somebody told me the other day. They said, I brought my brother. He came to church. Oh, I know who it was. He told me he brought my brother. They came once. He said after the service, he said, man, he kind of scared me. God kind of scared me. It wasn't me. If I didn't have anything to say and it didn't make any sense and it didn't square with Scripture, you got nothing to worry about. But what I'm saying is true and it squares with Scripture, you got something to worry about. And praise God, I told him, I said, praise God, he was scared. Would you bow with me for a moment?